Hi everyone, I'm Andrea Collins.
And I'm Shelley Zorn. This is Let's Talk Thomasville,
a podcast about storytelling through perspectives of the past, our value of today, and our imagination for tomorrow. So I am very excited that we have a special guest speaker with us today, Mr. Terry Scott, who is a native of Thomasville, Georgia, retired Army, 27 years of service,
yes.
And formerly ran for and served District 1, Post 2 of
yes.
City Council.
Mm-hmm.
You ran from 2016 to 2019.
Yes, that's right.
And now you are gearing up to run for District 1, Post 1.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, a pastor, family man, married for almost 10 years.
Almost 10 years.
And a member of the Disabled Vets. We are excited to have you on our podcast. This episode is probably one of the most important that we've done
mm-hmm.
because we feel that it's critical for our community to hear
yeah.
from the candidates that are running for council.
Yeah, and you know, I think that this is really important also that the city know who they're electing.
That's right.
For each candidate. Every candidate has something different they want to offer to the city, but it gives the citizens enough to listen to the candidate, to who they want to vote for.
That's right, and that's exactly what this is for. So, Shelley, my partner in crime, I'm going to let you kick off the very first question that we've got outlined for Mr. Scott.
Okay, great. So first of all, just real simple, tell us why you've chosen to run again for city council, and what do you think will be your main focus or goal?
Okay. Well, I chose to be the voice for the community. The community needs someone that will listen to them and that will voice their opinion to the city council. Being a native of Thomasville and moving back here, I rode around, my wife and I, we rode around on a Sunday, just seeing that there's just such a need. Certain areas have been neglected, and so we decided, okay, I'm going to run for office. So
I'm going to
step up to the plate, and I decided to run for city council. I see that there's so many things that needed attention. Yeah, I see there was a lot of things, roads need to be done, parks need to be upgraded and everything, so I decided to run for office. Yeah.
Good very answer. Interesting. Very yeah. good answer.
Yeah.
So we know the city of Thomasville, and everyone around the state knows that the city of Thomasville does so many things well.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's always room for improvement within any organization.
Mm-hmm.
So what specifically will you focus on to continue improvements for the citizens and the business owners in Thomasville?
Okay. That's a good question there. I would focus on affordable houses.
Okay.
And let me say this here. I rode around when I decided to be elected as city council. I saw so many dilapidated houses. And those houses can be upgraded to be mm-hmm. affordable houses. And so to get businesses, generate revenues in the city and everything. So, but for the tourism,
mm-hmm.
To generate revenues, and for the city, the local business to bring more jobs to the city of Thomasville.
Now that's always music to my ears.
Yeah,
we're going to get to that later.
Yeah.
Economic development and jobs,
yeah.
for sure.
We are, there are so many jobs in Thomasville, but we have Wendy's, we have McDonald's, we have Burger King. Those jobs there, to me, is meant more for the high school kids, not for a family man that has a family that he needs to sustain himself. So I'm looking to bring jobs into the community.
Okay, jobs to the community along with affordable housing.
Yeah, yeah,
Those are your two main focuses.
Those are your two main primary focuses.
Mm-hmm. Just to play off what she already asked about, City of Thomasville is known for doing things very well, and I think they're known here that we've had people of vision, great leaders. But every community has challenges. So what do you believe is the biggest challenge right now the city of Thomasville is facing?
Okay, Thomasville needs better employment.
Okay.
They need better employment. And Shelley, you can relate to this yourself with Caterpillar. We had the Caterpillar building.
Mm-hmm.
And you work hard at it. And so we was able to get checkmate here into the Caterpillar building.
That's right.
And bring jobs here that family members can go there and work to sustain their families. Mm-hmm. Okay, bring jobs here. Also, education. Mm-hmm. What I want to do, is just get into the high school with the juniors and seniors. We had a program called the CAVE, the Career Advancement Vocational Education. And what that was, as a junior and senior, you went to the trade school and you learned a trade while you was in high school. You learned a trade while you was in high school. So when you graduate from high school, you got two things. You got a diploma and you got a certificate of completion. The certificate of completion is something that you can go out and find a job, whether it's a brick mason, whether it's a carpenter, whatever, auto mechanic, plumber, HVAC, whatever.
Yeah.
So those jobs is something that family can members sustain themselves. And to go back to what I was talking about with Shelly with Checkmate, I think we had to train those folks in order for they can go to
still training them. Still training mm-hmm. them. It's very important.
Mm-hmm. So therefore, you in high school, you get a trade. And after high school, everyone not meant to go to college. I was one of them. I tried college for 2 months. College, nope, wasn't the answer. So I went to military. So I'm a military brat.
Mm-hmm.
But with the ones that not having to decide what they want to do, that want to hang around in Thomasville, jobs. We can get them a jobs. So I think Thomasville need to look at jobs opportunities.
So you'd say that is definitely one of the biggest challenges that's facing the city today.
Yeah.
Job opportunity.
Yeah, skill level jobs.
Okay, skilled level jobs. Yeah. That, I mean, you know what? This is certainly not the first time we've been on this conversation.
We have these conversations all the time with small business industry, our downtown merchants, and I would say most of them agree with you 110% that not everybody has to go to college.
Right.
We've created this mindset that maybe everybody does. College is great. But, you know, we need electricians and plumbers and maintenance people. And those people, you know, I think they think of that as a dirty job, but it's not anymore. Those people are running computers, and they're making six figures, some of them. So
I have a little question for you here.
Question.
Well, and it's not it pertains to this, but, you know, when we think about, you know, a city council, and just think about listeners who may not understand how city council works, because we may have, you know, we may have a younger audience out there who's just now learning about local government. And so how does a city councilman help towards these challenges? Like what when we ask, like, so what is the biggest challenge we think the city of Thomasville faces as a councilman in local government? How does local government play a role in helping address and mitigate some of those challenges?
Number one, that's a good question there. Hmm. They have a program where juniors and seniors came to city council meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Came to city council meetings.
I remember that.
Yeah. And what that does is getting the new generation used to how the government, how the city, local city government is ran.
Mm-hmm.
And so as they grow older, as they get older, they might decide to run for city council or to meet the mayor or whatever. But that gives them some kind of mindset on what they want in life, what they're looking for the citizens, what they want the citizens to be inclined for the rest of their life, whether it's jobs, whether it's the military.
Mm-hmm.
So the city government itself, I look at the staff personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Staff personnel, they're professional.
Mm-hmm.
City council answers to the city manager. Now, but the staff, they does the work.
Mm-hmm.
They're the workforce. They're
boots on the ground every day.
They're the force.
Mm-hmm.
City councils, what they should do is just here, listen to the staff.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I had a project I wanted to get done. I went to the city manager. He got with staff personnel. It went to from staff to the city council. It got done.
And that project that you wanted to get done was voiced from the community that you represent.
Voiced for the community, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's how I say you listen to the community.
Mm-hmm.
That's a vital thing there. You have to listen to the community. You can't get, I always tell all the folks, I'm a servant of God. I'm not a politician.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a servant of God because I have two things I got to listen to. I got two charges. When I get sworn in office, I get sworn as an oath. Another charge I got to God,
mm-hmm.
and God's charge overrides the oath of office. So I got to be obedient and listen to what God says. Yeah.
That's a really good answer. I think that pretty much wraps up that question. I think moving on, since you were a former city councilman, what would you say was your biggest accomplishment in your former, you know, in your former time frame?
Man, I tell you what, I can just look back and I ride around and see what I've accomplished throughout this city. My first project was the Martin King Drive, getting it resurfaced, getting sidewalks out there, curbs and girders out there. Fletcherville, what we call Fletcherville. It was phase two of it. It took about 2 years, 2.5 years. In fact, the last year of it got complete, I wasn't in office. But it had a drainage problem there. So Fletcherville, it was curbs and gutters, sewers drainage. I got Checkmate, part of Checkmate was part of my project. Marriott Hotel was part of my project. Western Park. Western Park was one of my biggest projects, because therefore the community and the kids can go out and play now and fight for what has happened. They got a bench out there in my memory of me and everything. So those have been my greatest accomplishments. Just to go back and look back on what I've done and to drive down the streets and say, okay, that's part of me there.
That's part of the service.
That's part of the service,
That feels good.
But not only, Shelly, what happened was now, the Fletcherville project was a project that's been delayed for years and years. But the citizens had enough confidence in me that I would go address their issue to the city manager, and they were addressed to the city council, and it got done. It got done. Well, we had to get grants, and of course we had to get grants to sustain to do the jobs and everything. But we got grants. We got the money that we supported the grants with. So, Fletcherville project was a great project. That's something I can ride back and look back on. Even at my old days, and I can say, okay, I'm the reason this happened.
Right.
Fletcherville, Lester Street, Wright Street, South Street, Magnolia Street, all those due to the fact that I took initiative to voice my opinion because the citizen wanted something done.
So you hear it from the citizens, and then you would pass that on and voice those concerns to either city manager or staff and bring that up. I think some listeners don't even realize that there's a chain of command. And so the city council's there to make decisions, how money is to be spent, the budget, and that's directed to you from the city manager. You do not tell directly to staff what to do.
Exactly.
So the staff answers to the city manager, city manager answers to the city council.
And saying that, that's why I love the staff members. And so I miss them so badly. I really miss them because they are a family-oriented individual. And Alan being there, after Stephen left and Alan came in and he got his feet wet and everything. So but we began to make progress in the city of Townsville. Downtown tourism. Tallahassee, Florida, we bring in a bunch of revenue from Tallahassee, Florida.
They're up here every day and every weekend.
Every weekend. My wife and I, what we do on the weekend, we go downtown. We don't do that much shopping. We just go downtown, just looking at from window shopping. And so that generates revenue. So downtown tourism, they're doing an excellent job.
Right. It does, and it takes a village to bring it all together. That's for sure.
So I'm going to ask a question about economic development. We've talked a lot about jobs. First, I'm going to ask you, kind of, how do you define economic development? You mentioned earlier Checkmate and some of the other projects. And second part of that question, specifically, what's the role of city council to do that and to continue to grow jobs?
To continue research and look for companies who is willing to relocate to Thomasville. We're willing to relocate. So, Shelly, so we need to find some jobs.
That's what I do every day.
To relocate jobs to come to this area down here. Like I said, we got the burger flippers here, but we need jobs down here. So that we can generate revenue for the city of Thomasville.
So without jobs, the city of Thomasville...
Without jobs.
That's what funds the city government, and exactly. That's what can fund parks and paving roads and all those things. That's right.
Those projects I wanted done, they wouldn't have been available because we wouldn't have the funds available.
Mm-hmm, right.
But it generated revenue for the city.
Mm-hmm. So every new, and I'm doing this not for you, but for the listeners, every new small business that we recruit, every new industry we recruit, that industry pays their employees. Mm-hmm. Their employees go out and they spend in our community as sales tax dollars. Also, it builds the utility load here.
Exactly.
And the city of Thomasville gets that revenue. And so every new job that's created, that's why economic development is so important, is every new job supports. You know, I think a lot of times people think we're only interested in industrial jobs, but honestly, they all help each other. You've got to have it all.
Exactly.
You've got to have healthcare, education, industrial, downtown, small business, mm-hmm. government. If one of those pieces are missing, if one of those legs on the table is missing, the table's leaning over.
Right.
You know, if you don't have industrial jobs, there's nobody to go downtown and shop.
Right.
You know, so you got to have both.
It's just like Checkmate.
Yep.
We probably generate $300,000 or $400,000 a year.
On their utilities.
Mm-hmm.
And their employees, they're paying their employees about $7.2 million a year total, and that goes back into our community.
It goes back into the community.
It's a domino effect.
Yeah, and I don't know if listeners realize, but so Shelly Zorn, I work for the Payroll Development Authority. That's completely funded by the city of Thomasville.
Mm-hmm.
So directly for a city councilman, incentives that we give,
mm-hmm.
everything that we do from marketing to trying to get those businesses you're talking about, that's all funded by the city of
mm-hmm.
Thomasville.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real important who's elected next and how those funds continue to flow.
I think it's important too when you were talking about recruitment of jobs,
mm-hmm.
also the homegrown version of jobs as well. I think both
mm-hmm.
of those play such an important role.
You got to support the ones who are here. And you got to support every size business. We're always trying to recruit new, and we'll always do that. But it doesn't do you good to recruit new if you're losing the ones you have.
Yeah. And the Part B, what you're talking about, is about making sure that Thomasville has competitive wage jobs to help the city of Thomasville and the county to be able to generate revenue for families to sustain themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have jobs. And I think right now, we're just starting out with $10 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, about two years ago, $7.35, but now it's starting to sell $10 an hour. So good wages.
Industrial jobs and manufacturing always pay more.
Yeah.
And I hate to keep mentioning Checkmate, but I guess we are because they're one of our newest recruits. And, you know, unskilled people there can make $15 an hour,
mm-hmm.
and they can at Flowers and Cleaver Brooks
mm-hmm.
and Hurst Fuller. And, you know, industrial jobs just pay more. And then if you get into the skilled labor at Hearst or Cleaver or Flowers or Checkmate, you know, then you're getting into $25-$30 an hour.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I agree with you that, you know, you may start on one of those minimum wage jobs, but you're not supposed to stay there for a while.
No.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to graduate. Right. Stay there. It's to where this temporarily
mm-hmm.
employ you to where you can find another job to able to sustain yourself there.
Mm-hmm.
A family of two or three, Cleaver Brooks, Checkmate again, those jobs like that, sustainable jobs to where affordable housing come in at.
Mm-hmm.
Affordable housing. Well, we have a young folks generation right here that wants to buy houses.
Mm-hmm.
But so we need a more affordable housing in this area over here.
And do you see the city taking a lead or a role in affordable housing?
Part of mm-hmm. I do, but
mm-hmm.
mostly the developments.
Mm-hmm. It's usually an investor or developer that does that. But I think the city's big role can be to make everything business friendly.
Right.
So that if they're developing housing or a small business or an industry, that can go smoothly for those investors.
And a lot of times, I ride around to dilapidated houses in this area. And so I know the city's not into that business, but we have an energy program to where you can borrow $5,000 to upgrade your house, whether it's windows or the refrigerator or the stove or the hot water heater.
Becoming more energy efficient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could afford to make the improvements that they need.
Yeah.
Okay.
So are you saying that those are some pieces where the city of Thomasville can play a role in trying to make sure that there's more efficient homes.
Right. It's right. And so even not only that, but getting these some dilapidated houses that's around here, well, that's a stress hold between you. Well, you go, it's going to be torn down or either remodeled. But if the stress hold is higher than the value of the house, they're going to tear it down. But the stress hold is lower. Okay, so let's maybe you get a family. So, okay, we want to get a loan, low interest loan to revitalize our house. So it makes it affordable. You got a low interest loan. Maybe $30,000, I don't know, but whatever the case may be, but you get that loan from the city and redo the house, make it affordable. So we're looking to, that's something we can look into later on.
Okay. Well, moving on, when we're thinking about, I guess really this is a good segue into Thomasville, its history being built off of visionary leadership. And we are known across the state as a place apart. And, you know, so what would be your long-term vision? What would you like the voters within your district to know what your long-term vision is for the community of Thomasville and Thomas County?
Okay, we probably about two or three years ago, we had charrettes. The visionary of the city of Thomasville. The next 10 years, where do we want Thomasville to go at? Okay, so we had charrettes. Probably once a week or twice a month. So everyone, I mean, from the citizens to staff members to the city manager, whoever was want to be involved in it. So we all got together around this table and we drew pictures.
I remember. Yeah, we did it.
We drew pictures on what vision we want to take Thomasville in. Now, on the south side where I live at, coming from Tallahassee, it's like it's dead over there. And so with this vision that I'm coming up with now, we need to get some small mini malls over there, something that's going to be attractive to that area over there. Now, if you're coming from Monticello or Coolidge or Albany Way, you get downtown, it's like you're downtown because it's all lit up with lights. You got Publix out there, you got the restaurants out there, you got the raceway out there, you got all the other things out there. But we need to focus on more like south side to where we get a small mini mall out there, a restaurant or something
like
that.
You see long-term vision is focusing on that area of town. Revitalizing that.
Because believe it or not, we have about
It's a gateway into our community from Tallahassee and Florida.
Right.
What would you say your constituents say, or did they share with you?
They share the same value that I share. What I'm about to say now, when you're coming from Thomasville, It's like you don't know you're in Thomasville until you cross the railroad tracks.
Right.
Thomasville have about 18,300 some folks involved in locals and citywide. But what's going on in Thomasville expanding out. Because downtown, I mean, we got so many vendors, we got so many stores downtown now, but Thomasville is extending out now.
It is.
And so we need to concentrate on local businesses. We need to concentrate on more businesses coming here, because the more businesses come here, folks begin to work, the economy going to get higher. That means more wages will get higher. And so it's going to grow. The next 20 years from here, if I'm living or not, the Thomasville is going to be probably from 20,000 people in here in Thomasville. So the vision for Thomasville is not on the south side, but we want to concentrate on the south side of Thomasville.
Right.
Yeah.
Lots of opportunity.
Yeah, opportunity is out there. It just need investors or stakeholders to want to invest in that area over there.
And we've seen some of that recently, we certainly have. So, last question, real simple. Why should citizens and business owners vote for you?
It's like I said earlier. I'm not a politician. I'm a servant of God. I will listen to the people. That's all you can do. Listen to the people. You can be the voice for the people. If you listen to the people, and the voice for the people, they will listen to you. So that's why I'm running for office.
Well, you started with that and you ended with that.
Yeah.
So that has a good introduction and a good conclusion.
And simple is more, and I think that's the most simple, but yet profound response.
I mean, we appreciate your service to the city, and I appreciate your service to this country for 47 years. So
I echo what Shelley said.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Well, we're excited. We appreciate you coming on our podcast. Mm. And if citizens have more questions for you, where mm-hmm. can they go to get in contact
with
you?
Well, they can call me. I'm on phone person. You can call me.
Okay. How do they get your contact info?
Okay, 229-200-3979.
All right. You heard it now. He just gave out that
call. Call him directly.
Call me directly. In fact, we had a younger lady that needs some parking spaces downtown. Had a boutique shop downtown. She didn't have no parking space. She called me on a Sunday afternoon. My wife and I were sitting down eating. I got up from the table. My wife said, "Where you heading at?" She jumped in the car with me, of course. And we went downtown to solve the problem. Because she was unloading clothes on the sidewalk. And the police officer came by and said, "She can't park on the sidewalk." And I was told her. And so we got together with the city council, the city manager. We gave her 6 parking spaces. So you can call me anytime.
And that's public service at its finest right there.
That's public service.
Yeah. Well, Terry, I think that's a good wrap up for mm-hmm. today. We appreciate you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you all.
And good luck.
Thank you all very much.
All right.
Thank you.